All right. Still in chapter 5, cultivating a worshipful heart, an intense passion for his presence. This principle for raising breakthrough believers will allow the Arrowhead leader to be surrounded by a company of people who love God and are true worshipers in the spirit. One of the things that the author is bringing out here about cultivating a worshipful heart, you know, an apostle was talking about it, about Israel. And when you look at Israel, how, you know, the Bible says it's about seven times in Exodus where God said that his reason for bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt was so that they could worship him. That was his whole purpose for delivering them out of Egypt. So Moses had this experience with God, you know, with this burning bush. And so Moses' purpose, when he was going to talk to Pharaoh about letting the people go and that sort of thing and stuff, every time he went, he said, you know, God said to tell Pharaoh, let the people go that they may worship him in the wilderness. And so the children of Israel, you know, they had got so accustomed to Egypt and that sort of thing and stuff till, you know, every time Moses was trying to deliver them, well, when they had gotten out of Egypt, they were always talking about going back. They was always talking about, you know, it was from one thing to another, you know. But the whole purpose for God bringing them out was to meet him. All right. So now when because they didn't follow the plan of God, really, they didn't follow. What happened was they got to the point of what they said to Moses. They said, look, Moses, you know, whatever God tell you, you know, we'll just listen to what you say. But that wasn't God's plan for them. God's plan for them was to bring them to that mountain so they could meet him. That was the whole plan of God. And so because the children of Israel, you know, they really didn't want to hear God. Now, you know, I always like to take a real good look at how, you know, God had brought Moses through this and God was bringing them to the mountain. Now, most people think that the reason why God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt was to take them to the promised land. But that's not true. Not to take them to the promised land, but to bring them to meet him. See, because if they had went to the promised land before they met him, then, you know, they would have been caught up in idolatry, worshiping idols. So God wanted them, first of all, before they got to the promised land, to meet the promiser. Yes, and so, because God wanted them to worship him. One thing about worship is, you know, it put us in a position, you know, where we really hear God. And Apostle was alluding to this in his class. One of the most dangerous people to have around you is somebody who really don't hear the voice of God, don't know the voice of God, and not trying to hear the voice of God. But they are trying to fill a position in ministry without really knowing God. That's a dangerous person to have around you. So when a person really, in the children of Israel, man, I mean, they go up to the mountain, they come to the mountain and they see fire and smoke and all that kind of stuff, and they taking off running. Now God's saying, no, this was your purpose for coming out here. Yes, you know, but every time something didn't go right, you know, when Israel came through the Red Sea, they was over on the other side. The Bible said Miriam had tamarines. They had about 800,000 women that was over there praising God. Then as soon as they get to the water and stuff, and the water's bitter, you know, it was from one thing to another. So in other words, they was only out for what they could get from God. It wasn't about him. It was all about them. And so worship, when we come to a place where we really understand and worship in God, I mean, we can really be a blessing to those that God has called us to assist, because I really rather have somebody who can really hear from God, you know, that's close around me, so that, but for example, a pastor said something that a lot of folk really don't understand about how God raised a person up, raised people up, and how some people will follow you as long as everything's going good. But don't correct them, because they're going to find somewhere else to go. You know what I'm saying? And but really, when correction comes, I was sharing this with somebody the other day. I had a gentleman I was talking to, and whenever I've gotten a situation when I was following, you know, my pastor back in the day, and you know, they always say this, you know, that whenever you're having a test, whenever you're going through a test, you know, that the teacher is silent. You know, you've been in classroom. The teacher don't give you no answers while the test is going on. But you know what? I found out that the Holy Ghost be giving you slip sheets.
Yes, he do.
You know, little answers. He be giving you answers. He be, you know, I thought it supposed to be a test. I mean, the Holy Ghost, but you got to be able to hear him. I said, boy, that's cheating. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the Spirit of God always trying to give us an advantage.
Right.
Always trying to get us to see that, okay, this that you're going through, it's only a test to take you to the next level.
Yes.
But if you can't hear God, then you're not gonna be able to endure the test. But when you really have a hunger for God's presence, I'm telling you, there'll be times when you'll be, you know, and then there'll be some times when God may not say anything to you concerning what you're going through. Sometimes he just give you a peace. And so this is something that we have to really see God for, because it's really safety when you got people who true worshipers, because at any time God could tell them that it's just a test, endure it, keep on going. Let me give you, for instance, that was a time I was an assistant pastor at a church at the church where I am now. I was assistant pastor. And so there was some ladies that came to me, said that what we're going to do, we're going to talk to pastor, and we're going to try and get, we're going to do an appreciation for you. That's what they said. So then when they went to talk to the pastor, the pastor said, oh, no, this is not going to happen. And so they came to me, you know, with crying, oh, pastor, you do so much around here. You say, I said, hold it, cut it out. And so while I was in prayer, this was the Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost said, the pastor didn't say no. He said, I said it. He said, because I haven't promoted you there. He said, and then when people, one thing about having people, especially when, you know, everybody got titles, people really get confused who the real pastor is.
Right.
So the Lord shut it down. And the Lord told me, I shut this down. See, then the little committee came and say, well, we still trying to. I said, look, the Lord shut that down. Y'all leave that alone. I said, now, if y'all say anything else about it, we going to talk to the pastor.
Yes, yes, yes.
See, because you have to, being a worshiper, gonna put you in a position where the Holy Spirit is gonna help you to help the leader, not fight against him. Hallelujah. So it calls you to be a person who's safe around. The pastor can turn his back on you, know that you ain't gonna, you're not gonna be trying to stab me in the back. Hallelujah. So they are so yielded in their hearts that they'll be our protection in times of need or confusion. See, a real worshiper, it got any kind of confusion going on, a real worshiper, they'll sell it down. Say, all right, I'll say, all right, you know, no, we're gonna continue to walk in love, we're gonna continue to pray. We're not gonna get into any gossip. A real worship, you understand what I'm saying? And so it's so important, you know, becoming a breakthrough believer and understanding, you know, that it is vitally important for you to really hear the voice of God, know how to hear the voice of God. And so in hearing the voice of God, you really have to quiet down, get everything around you quiet. Yes. See, because your soul, your mind is, everything is vying for your mind, for your mind's attention. Mm-hmm. Everything around, you understand what I'm saying? So now, if you have to put yourself in a position where you turn off, you cannot really hear God's voice with Lifetime on the screen. The television going, you talking about, I'm just laying here, I'm just waiting to hear from God. No, you're going to hear from them characters on that TV. Yes, that's who you're going to hear from. You understand what I'm saying? So there's so many times when we fail to get ourselves, separate ourselves so that we can really hear the voice of God. And so this is one of the things that I've seen over the years, you know, watching Apostle is, you know, just emptying yourself, just getting quiet before God, getting from around everything and everybody, and having your notepad. Having your notepad, so the Holy Spirit, God will begin to speak to you, you know, with phrases. You just write them down. Just write it down. And not only just write it down, there's a, you need to have a journal. You need to journal your prayers. And then there's times when I've recorded my conversation with God. Hallelujah. My wife pulled out some prophecies, some words God had given me years ago and stuff. And this is one of the things that I found out. See, when you're following God, God may speak to you and tell you that this is what I'm going to do. All right. All right. You know, you got to have faith, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But it may not happen when you think it's going to happen. Because I saw some things that God spoke to me some years ago, and I just see them coming to pass. So this is what God shared with me. He said, there's many times I will speak to you. I'll give you dreams. I'll give you visions. And many times you have the clock on them when you think they should be coming to pass. And so, you know, you'd be like, man, I must have missed God. God told me he was going to do this. He's still going to do it. But you're looking for him to do it when on your timetable. And God has a scheduling of events that he's already got planned. The Bible says many are the plans in the heart of a man, but it's the Lord's, the purposes of God that's going to prevail. So there's many times, there's dreams, there's things that God has given you, and God's going to bring them to pass. But the thing about it, if you walk away, like the children of Israel, Apostle talking about it tonight, you know, through a heart of unbelief, because it looked like it's not coming to pass, right. God got to prepare you first before he bring that thing to pass in your life.
That's some
constructing that God is doing in you.
Yes,
so that he can bring you to that promise that he's promised you. Praise God. But a lot of times we don't want the process.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So they will be able to hear God and push through in the spirit, bringing deliverance in different situations. We often use other measurements when looking for a potential leader without realizing that whoever we choose who is not connected to God, listen to this, will connect to something else in the future. You understand? how Apostle has things structured, you know, with the people that he have around him, the 12, he had 12, he had the church, he had 12, you know, pastors that follow him and that sort of thing and stuff. But the thing about it is, Apostle's not going to let us, I'm telling you something, you're not going to be able to be around Apostle if you're not a person that's praying. Oh, no. Because you're going to vex him. Because a person who's always praying and worshiping God, when they get around a non-prayer, somebody who not, it's a vexation. Because they pull on them in the flesh.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So all of this is important if we're going to really do ministry. And really, Apostle said tonight that a lot of people are called to assist in ministry. A lot of folks, you know, think that, oh, you know, they think that they're going to turn the world upside down and God will call me, I'm going to do this here and stuff. And really, many times when people say that God has called them, you know, I don't think that they stay on the line long enough to find out what he wanted.
That's right.
Look, I think they get the phone like this. He said, this is God. I'm calling you. And they hurry up, hanging up. You had to stay there long enough to find out what he wants you to do. So a lot of people go through life and ministry trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do when you're supposed to wait it long enough to hear his instruction and find out what all he wanted you to do. He might have told you that I just want you to really be a help to this person. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So they're going to connect to somebody else in the future. His wrong connection will contaminate the spiritual lives of those who genuinely, I'm going to say something. So you have to be careful when God connect you with somebody, like God is connected with Apostle. I'm going to tell you something. I don't do a whole lot, and I'm not, listen to me, I'm not putting down anybody else. But I'm saying that God, that's a voice that God has placed in my life. And it's Apostle. And so I'm not listening to everybody else. I'm not going here and going there. I don't care how eloquent they talk. I don't care how they sound. I don't care how they put all the words in the right place and that kind of thing and stuff. That does not impress. What impresses me is following the voice that God placed in my life. Because some people call themselves sons and daughters of apostles, but, you know, you can't really tell who their dad is. Because they are not functioning. They don't have the DNA of apostle, because they listen to this person, that person, and all this kind of stuff. That I guess they call themselves being super spiritual. No. I won't. God, I won't. Then that was time when Apostle Paul was talking about his company. He was talking about he was going to his company. That didn't mean that other people weren't preaching the gospel, but that was a certain people that God had called him to. And he told him one time, he said, I'm not an apostle to anybody. I'm an apostle to you. So sometimes we become contaminated because we connecting with all these other people and stuff. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And some people just so spiritual talking about what the Lord told me to follow this person. And the Lord told me, God is not bipolar. God not going to tell you one thing one minute, then the next minute he tell you something else. Well, you know, the Lord gave me, you know, three spiritual fathers. Well, it really don't compute because, how many daddies you got in the natural? Come on, you may have somebody else you call daddy, but you don't have their DNA. If you don't have their DNA, they're not really your father. So, a lot of folk, they just contaminated. They got a whole lot of, his wrong connection will contaminate the spiritual lives of those who genuinely love the presence of God and who want the depths of the things of the spirit. In 2 Chronicles 29:11, the priests and Levites were chosen to stand before him and were given a place of honor in his presence. Listen to this. 75% of ministry, y'all with me? Is supposed to be Godward. It's supposed to be between you and God. When Moses, remember Moses? When he was getting ready to lead the children of Israel, while he was leading them, his son-in-law came to him, Jethro came to him and said, look, Moses, say, they're going to wear you out. You know, you need to be Godward. Yeah. So you need to choose somebody to help you to carry this thing out. So Moses had to spend his time on his face before God. Moses had to spend time. You cannot really lead folk and stuff if you're not on your face before God, because God's gonna have to give you direction. First of all, they're God's people. You with me? They're God's people. That you can never, you know, claim God's people. Say, you know, these my people. No, them, these God's folk. And then the Lord didn't give us the right to lord over his people. You with me? And so the only way you can really help and assist and that kind of thing and stuff, you got to be a person that fall on your face and understand that 75% of ministry is you and God.
That's right.
Y'all with me? Got to be Godward. It's got to be you seeking God for direction. You seeking God for, you know, God, Lord, I need, not seeking God for no sign. Lord, I need a sign. I don't need no sign. I need a word.
That's right.
I need a word. Because one word can change everything, can change my life. And only 25% is manhood. So whenever we spend more time with man than we spend with God, man, that's a disaster. That's a recipe for disaster. So it's got to be. That time with God has got to be is vitally important. If we can find pastors and leaders living in this dimension of worship and honor, we will have a better presentation of God and his presence from these lives. Now, you know, there is. When we talk about God's presence, you know, there's the God is omnipresent, right? That means that God is, you know, God is everywhere. I mean, you know, God is here, that he's always here. You with me? All right. But then there is the manifested presence of God. You know, David, this is what David was talking about in the psalmist. David said, If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I, you know, he start naming some places, he say, thou art there. He was talking about God on our presence-ness, you know. But then there is the manifested presence of God. That's when God really make himself known to you. Now let me give you this little nugget. You are never to seek manifestation. Some people, okay, let me show you something. All right. Let's just say you have an experience with God. And you have an experience with God. And, you know, and when you had this experience with God, you know, you begin to shake or whatever, trembling, whatever and stuff. And then you get off in a service and stuff. And then you feel the presence of God. You're trying to manufacture that same kind of reaction. You got to realize this. When you had that experience with God, from where you were at that time, by the time you've gotten over here, God has moved.
God is not
really doing the same thing he was doing over there. All right. Remember Elijah? Elijah, that was the wind. That was the earthquake. And that was the fire. But God wasn't in none of that. You with me? I see there may have been a time when he may have experienced God, but at this time it was the still small voice. So you cannot let an experience that you've had with God hold you in a place where you feel like this, when God go to moving, this is the way I act.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, God's presence came on, you know, and you, like you was doing a wall dance or something, you understand what I'm saying? And I mean, man, you're so overwhelmed with the presence of God, and then, you know, you get somewhere and stuff, and you're looking for manifestation. The manifestation. You got to look for God.
That's right. Amen.
You look for God. And so, because you don't know how he's going to manifest. And so a lot of times, this is how a lot of Christians, they mimic stuff, you know, just like, what's his name? John Brown, I think it is. In his meetings, you know, there was a lot of laughter, a holy laughter and that kind of thing, you know. And so it's the Spirit of God. But the thing about it is somebody could be in a meeting like that. And then, you know, so they think that every time the presence of God, they start laughing. It don't mean that that's God. It don't mean that that's God. That's they mimicking something that they had done in the presence of God. Y'all with me? You understand what I'm saying? So you can't get hung up on this is the way, you know, the presence of God moved on me, you know, when I was in my private time. So I got to come out here. Now I got to put on an act. This is how God is. And God said, That was 3 days ago. I'm not still in that same place. I done moved since then. You're the one that's stuck. That's why a lot of times people have these, you know, have a move of God, and they get stuck. Like people in Pentecostal churches and different places where it's a certain way. I remember, man, I went to this church, boy, and in the spirit, Spirit of God wasn't moving. But man, these people start getting up here and they was, and you know, they were praying for, you know, the pastor was praying for, and they had these ladies around them. I said, what they doing? I said, what are they doing? And I said, my God, man. Spooky in there. You know what I'm saying? I say, looking for the dough. Where the dough at? I say, my God, I say, man, if anybody come to John, if anybody came here to John, they'd have changed their mind by now.
That's right.
I mean, they were just, and then some of them had their hands open like this here, and I said, whoa, yes, praise the Lord. And so the pastor said, he said, when the Spirit of God started manifesting, that's how he could come on the people. I say, you do that all the time? I say, oh, yeah, all the time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say, okay, all right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Help me. You know, he invited me to church to preach, but I hadn't been back. Lord. I went to this church. This was my early days. And, you know, because I was, my pastor had told me, he said, you know, he said, whenever you go out, before you go out to preach, always come talk to me. Let me know where you are. But, you know, I came out of traditional church. So I say, but I need to tell him. God called me. He ain't called me. I'm going. When they ask me to come, I'm going. I'm not going. I'm not consulting with man. I'm going. I didn't know no better. I went to the church, and so I asked them. I said, "Why's your restroom?" They said, "Right through that headlit curtain." So I said, "Okay." I went back there, and they had these statues with candles burning. I said, "Ooh, what's going on here?" Now, a guy, he couldn't make it, and he called me to fill in for him. And so I'm already messed up. I got to preach. And so I get up, and I minister, man. My God, I just want to get out of there. So the lady stood up, and she said, St. Peter said. I said, uh-oh. She talking about the dead saint? Say, yeah, St. Peter says. I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. And I said to myself, I said, I should have talked to my pastor first. I should have talked to my pastor before I came here. That was the last time I ever went anywhere without talking to my man of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then they had them, they had some of them in there with things on their head, you know, coming all down here and long old skirts and stuff, you know, with all kind of beads around their neck. I said, oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then they said, we would like for you to come back. And I said, I'm going to check my schedule. I didn't have no schedule. My wife said, you can go back if you want to, but I'm not going back with you. I said, well, you know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, see, that's why it's good. You got to have a good covering. Because they got some wild stuff out there. They got some wild stuff. And they got some people who will invite you to preach and stuff. You think, you know, you're going and stuff. And, you know, and then when you get back to your church, it's going to take 6 months for your pastor to get that off you. Those who are true worshipers are sought after by the Father. He will reveal secrets to his heart to them as he did to David. God often releases his favor upon them to build them as an enduring house and be identified with them. Jesus was called the Son of David. Now, looking in Isaiah 6, we can see the power of worship, a worship and yielded heart. The courage to continue to move forward in the presence of God allowed Isaiah to see provisions of God's mercy and redefinition of God's call upon his life. Now, you know, I always, you know, when I read, you know, about Isaiah and Uzziah, you know, I always think about the Isaiah said it was in the year Uzziah died that he saw the Lord. So that means that something was in Isaiah's way where he couldn't really get a clear vision of Christ, of Jesus. You with me? All right. So, but, you know, I did a study on Uzziah and found out that Uzziah was the king, but he was full of pride. He started off when he was young, you know, and God did mighty things through him. The nation became, you know, economically strong. It became militarily strong because Uzziah followed God. He was following God. But then after following him for a while and through so much success, sometimes success can be your downfall if you're not really submitted to God. And so Uzziah, once he started seeing all this he had built and that kind of thing and stuff, he started going into the temple and doing what the priests would do. And the priests caught him in there one time and said, no, you can't do this. And, you know, he went to raise insane and got upset because he was full of pride. And he wound up getting leprosy. But Uzziah really represented pride. You will never be able to get a vision, a clear view of Jesus full of pride. You're not going to, if you full of yourself, I tell you, pride is nothing but an overestimation of self. You think you such a much when you're really out of touch. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's what happens a lot of times with, and man, I thank God so much, man, the stuff that Apostle is teaching and pouring out to us, man, I mean, I see people, I see people's lives, they going to the whole nother a level, you know what I'm saying? And so, and one thing that I've been following the Apostle 20 years now, I've made 20 years, I've crossed over the 20-year mark. And one thing that I have always saw in him was a man who was really following God. who was pursuing God, was in hot pursuit of God. And that is the thing that, I always wanted to follow someone who wasn't wimpish. I can't follow nobody who, pat me on the back. Oh no, I can't have that. I had somebody gonna snatch the slack out of me. Say, go set your butt down. That ain't God. You understand what I'm saying? So many people don't realize what God has put here in this generation. Who God has put here in this generation? I mean, people going to the school over the internet and different things and stuff, and they watching, and they really don't understand fully who God has put them in the midst of. Apostle is a general.
Yes, he is.
He's a general. If we pay close attention, we are going to see manifestation like we've never seen before. Now, I've never seen Apostle go after manifestation. I've never seen him go after money. I've never seen him do that. I have never seen him do that. Never. It is his assignment to preach finances, but I've never seen him go after. I just saw him go after God.
Yes.
And God has caused people. I believe, you know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things going to be added unto you. Apostles have never sought the things. He was always seeking the kingdom. And that's what has caused them to be so blessed. And that's what I think a lot of time people miss. They miss that aspect of it. But this great man of God, Apostle come out here with sheds on. Apostle want us to get it so bad. He not standing at home making excuses. Saying, well, I better go on, stay at home. No. He got a word that God deposited in him for us.
Yeah.
Apostle come out here, you know, with the duckers on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody told me today what they call them glasses. I got a pair. What they call them? Haters, something, I don't know. I forgot what they told me now. Hater blockers. Yeah, they said them hater blockers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I went, you know, glory to God. I got me a pair of hater blockers. So then in Isaiah 6:5, then said I, see, once you, I got a minute and 35 seconds. Once you really get a clear view of Christ, of Jesus, how many of you know, you're going to start seeing your wretchedness.
Okay, yeah, right.
The closer you get to God, the more you're going to start seeing your faults.
That's right.
See, because a lot of times people think they got it all together. But the closer you get to Christ, the more you're going to begin to see your wretchedness.
Right.
And Isaiah say, woe is me. Isaiah say, I'm out here with unclean lips and all kind of stuff. Why you couldn't see that at first? Pride won't let you see it.
No.
You be so full of yourself. Till you can't see your bad attitude. You can't see your selfishness. You can't see it. But the closer you get to God, I mean, he'll begin to show you you. I remember when I was praying. I said, Lord, you need to do something with my wife. You know, we just got married and stuff, man. I said, Lord, you need to do something with this girl. And Lord said, how about if I start with you first? He said, let me do something with you. And then the things you're doing is triggering her. And man, I said, Lord, this don't seem like it's fair. I'm coming to you in behalf of myself against her, and you don't flip the switch on me. God said, because it's you, and I'm out of time.